This podcast is sponsored by Artsmark Award, the only creative quality standard for schools and education settings accredited by Arts Council England. Artsmark supports schools to develop and celebrate their commitment to arts and cultural education, providing a clear and flexible framework to embed creativity across the whole curriculum and address school improvement priorities. The programme also helps build young people's confidence, character and resilience, as well as supporting their health and well-being. Register today at artsmark.co.uk. Join this network of over 4,000 schools championing arts, culture and creativity.
Welcome to this TES podcast, where we will be discussing race and curriculum in British schools. I'm joined today by two guest speakers who will explore this topic with us. The first is Kwame Bokoji-Hume. He is the Director of African Activities CIC, a collaboration of African artists in the UK who work to share knowledge of African arts and culture and reframe the narrative around Africa and blackness in UK schools. I'm also joined by Lavinia Stennett. She is a historian, writer and recent first class graduate from SOAS. She is the founder and CEO of the Black Curriculum, a social enterprise working to teach and support teaching of Black history all year round. So thank you both for joining me. Let's start with your experiences of Black history on the curriculum when you were at school. Lavinia, would you like to start?
Sure. Well, I think firstly, acknowledging Black history on the curriculum is a task that often requires one to think back very far. Because oftentimes when Black history was presented, it was only done once a year during Black History Month. And the kind of Black history we were taught during those months were just focused on like the transatlantic slave trade routes, and not very creative at all. It wasn't really engaging, or it didn't offer a chance for young people to feel like empowered. So I'd say my first, I guess, exposure to it was actually in primary school, where we were given a project to do around Black inventors. And so my mum had given me a book at home that was on American Black inventors and like scientists and pioneers. And I went home and I started to kind of just do some research. And I came back like, hey, like got all this information. But that was like the first and the last time that I remember doing anything around that in school. So the information at school is really limited. Very limited on Black history. Yeah.
And Kwame, you grew up in Ghana, but you've worked a lot in UK schools. How have you found it?
Yeah, almost similar. Because when I go to schools, to be frank, I schooled in Ghana, and very, very importantly, I was very happy with the teachers and the adults there, because they really teach me the culture and the history of Africa. I was very grateful. Yes. The curriculum in Britain, just like Ghana, because when I started in school in Ghana, from nursery, it's compulsory to speak English. You understand? Yes. And you have to learn from nursery rhymes through all this to the ice picks, about apples. There are things we don't know and we learn about. And I mean, and when I came to England, I realized people know less about Africa, less about, let's say, blackness. Blackness, when I hear the history in schools, I feel like, no, this history is not what I want to hear. This is something, all is about white history. You know what I mean? Yes. And so it's a bit confusing. And the curriculum is all focused on English history and everything in Africa. And to make sure British Council enforce this. And I think to be very grateful if we start back from home to let people know this is how it is. So I think it's a little bit confusing. And the British curriculum exams and exploited all over the world. It is remains and one of the British council main job. And I think this is one main point. If we're able to get the root of the cause, this will be better.
Thank you, Kwame. And so, Lavinia, going to school in the UK, and obviously you had that one experience of being able to explore Black history, how did that impact on you as you went further through your schooling, that you weren't coming up with those experiences of exploring Blackness?
Subconsciously, or very consciously, you are aware that the only reference to yourself and history is done in a way that demoralizes you. You walk around not feeling very proud and feeling like your culture and contributions are worth celebrating unless it's sport or unless it's art. And it gives you a full sense of like the things that you can aspire to. So very rarely do I ever recall feeling like I can, you know, I can do something in politics and be great, because like we're not shown that, right? So striving for things, I think, was made a little bit more elusive because of the lack of like history that's there. Mm-hmm. I'd say that you also remember the collective pain when you watch Roots, like when you're in a classroom where like slavery's discussed, it's like shame and embarrassment. And those conversations or lack of conversations just reinforce that there was like a division in society, like that you are aware of, but subconsciously it becomes part of your identity.
Kwame, how do you find that, like when you're working with young people, when you're able to kind of introduce into these parts of African culture that they might not have come across before, how are they reacting?
Well, sometimes it's very new to them. They're quite shocked. And sometimes people don't think I'm telling a little story. So I tell stories a lot about Africa and other stories and all this. And sometimes they ask me, is it true? Is it really true, this? Yeah, are there roads? Are there this? Because if we tell them about, like, a story about Kenyatta, I like to tell about it, because compared to a story in Ghana, in Africa, a story about Akonfo Anoche, this priest, and the king of Ashanti, who this priest went across the country to help become a king and establish the Ashanti nation, and he buried his sword. And the soul represents the heart of the nation. And when I came to England, I read all this story. I said, oh, wow. And when I tell the children about these histories, it's like, wow, is it true? Yeah. And the teachers will be like, wow, who never heard this? And these are the stories. Sometimes when you tell the children, the Black children in school know their heads, but other children feel like, wow, we never know this. So sometimes I feel like there's a lot the children are missing in England schools, yes. And they miss a lot. But every child in Africa knew this history on their shoulders. It's run through their bones. So when we take this history here, you are from other places, you're here and we hear all this. We know them already. It's not our history. You understand? Mm-hmm. So sometimes, it's very painful. When you go to school, they tell you things you know already, things people write about you. So our stories must be there. And that's what I think. This is what motivates me to be going to school, to tell them the little stories and put their chains together. Yes. It's quite something. Going to school to listen to your story, the other side of it, is quite wary. Yeah.
Thank you. And Lavinia, obviously you're working now to change the teaching of Black history in schools. What's your vision for the decolonized curriculum? What do you think that could look like?
I think a decolonized curriculum, a curriculum that has Black history embedded into it, means that the curriculum is therefore a little bit more flexible. It's a lot more inclusive. and actually includes an array of narratives. So at the moment, when we look at Black history on the curriculum, it's obviously limited to like America, the transatlantic slave trade, and also, I guess, some parts of like the experiences of Britons, Black Britons that came to the UK in like 1945. So like some stories around Windrush, 1948, apologies. So you have some experiences there, but like a decolonized curriculum, when it includes Black histories, includes narratives of empire from the perspective of those who were in the empire, right? It includes the stories of those people who contributed to the economy. It includes narratives that aren't just celebratory, but also include the hard parts of our histories, right? And some of that sometimes is sensitive. It does mean that material sometimes isn't as easy to teach. It's not going to be a class that, like, you know, this happened, and, you know, history isn't made up of positive narratives. We have examples of Henry VIII and his, you know, wives getting divorced, beheaded, died. So they're not always great. But I think a decolonized curriculum truthfully reflects empire. It reflects the different sides of the experiences of Black people within that, not only on the continent and in the Caribbean, but also on the island of Britain. And yeah, it just includes an array of narratives and perspectives that don't just kind of just tell one side of the story.
Right. And what sort of response are you having so far?
In terms of the workshops in schools, like, young people are just, yes, like, they love receiving this information. They feel very like acknowledged and seen. And for many students, continuing to learn a very Eurocentric curriculum is highly traumatic. So coming in to schools, young people have actually commented that they actually feel like it's a space that they can like feel safe in, and like finally learn the truth of their history. And as Kwame said, not just like current history, but also like ancient history, gives them that boost to kind of like demystify the things that they have been taught. So it's very, the reception's been very good, and from teachers as well. The reception has been awesome. Like, they feel like more empowered, more, and what does empowered look like? It looks like having the knowledge of what to include. It looks like being able to critique things a bit better, and having more freedom as a teacher to be able to like weave in newer narratives. So yeah, the feedback has been really good from both from teachers and students.
That's great. And Kwame, how would you think we could use art and culture to be part of this movement to make a more decolonized curriculum?
We like to tell the old stories in West Africa. Oh, yes, about all this, use stories, perform culture, arts. So culture and arts move together. Yeah, telling the children the stories of different cultures in schools, it will be also good, yeah, to add them to their performances and their storytelling, yes. And by using art to share these stories, we are simply continuing to use art and culture as part of this. So, yeah, we always use art as a culture to express ourselves to other cultures. So this will be very interesting. And this is what we do in schools, because they tell the children what the culture is about. Like, example, for chieftaincy in Africa, it's always something, we always say chiefs, but the story is very deep from there. It's matrilineal, where I come from. So when you are dealing with that, you have to know deeply the context of the culture. And children will learn this and know that the mother, the queen mother sitting behind, is in charge of the throne, not the king sitting there. So if you tell children this and let them act it, yeah, it's part of, yeah. So it's very, very interesting in schools. And these things help children, motivate them to even come to school, because they know there's different thing or something that belongs to me is taking place. So yeah, it motivates children to also help them to educate themselves, widen their scope of mind. Yeah.
That's great, thank you. And finally, for any teachers who are listening to this, who want to start exploring these ideas, particularly through arts and culture, what would be a good place for them to start before the curriculum changes officially? What can teachers be doing? Lavinia?
So I'd say firstly, obviously the Black curriculum, go over to our website and get like resources. There's ways to get in touch with us so we can assist you on that journey. But more broadly, there are organisations where you can facilitate more learning around different parts of Black British history. So more specifically, the Young Historians Project are doing work around women in the NHS. You also have Justice to History. So there's quite a few organisations that are out there doing work like this that schools can consult with. And also, well, once we're able to kind of get back out and running, visiting local sites, there are plenty blue plaques and places that we can like physically go to understand the history of Britain a little bit better. So one of such places is obviously the Black Cultural Archives in London. And yeah, I'm sure there are other places outside of London that would equally provide an enriching experience as well. So it's just finding history in very local but very tangible ways as well.
That's great, thank you. And Kwame, any advice from you for teachers who want to start exploring these ideas through arts and culture?
Yeah, we always push that. We have some free resources online to help visit. Yeah, right now we have been visiting over 300 schools. Yep, and there's always room for more improvement and more resources. So if anybody wants in touch with us, we have a lot of resources and we have some online. Yeah, and it's, I think teachers need to, as Davinia said. Yep. What I was encouraging students to do is, because every child in UK, maybe sometimes most of them may be able to travel. And I said stories, they hear much about Africa because there's a lot to travel to see, a lot of stuff there, and realize that a lot of stuff that you hear is not true. And teachers who travel before, said so. And sometimes they know it. And if teachers know that, then children have stayed because there's too much rules guarding teachers what they have to teach, the curriculum. So I think they have to free the teacher's mind to be able to express the experiences and give to the kids. So that's what I see. Because when I go to schools, I see this, and I know some teachers know, but they don't do it. And I say, why don't you do it? Why did you call me in? You see this? So I think so. So we should encourage the teachers as well. That's it. Thank you.
That's great. Thank you so much. It was really good to talk to you both, and really good luck with your work going forward.
Oh, thank you.